All right. Good evening. How's everybody doing? Good. What do we always say every time I speak? Today's a good day because we're on what? This side of the dirt. Exactly. I always like saying that because, you know, it's a good reminder. Because no matter what it is outside, as long as you're breathing, you got breath in your lungs, it's a good day. And you're here for a purpose. And that's the thing I want. Everyone that I ever come in contact with to know about themselves. You're breathing. You're important. God's got you here for a purpose. Do I know what that purpose is? Nah. Sometimes do you know what that purpose is? Nah. But He does. And that's all that matters. But really that has nothing to do with anything I'm going to say tonight. But I just like to say, you know, I just want to talk about that. But what I do want to talk about is, you know, I like to talk about life. You know, we live in a busy world, you know, live in busy times, running from thing to thing to this to that. I thought I had free time, and then I had kids, and now I have like zero free time. You know, I thought I had a lot of money too, and now I know I don't, because every time my Carson comes around, he said, "Dad, can I have a dollar?" Or I tell him to do something, I'll do it for a dollar. You bribe the kid once or twice, and he learns that every time, "Hey, can I have a dollar?" But you get to running around, you know, a whole world of multitasking, and you end up looking like, well, buddy, throw that picture up there for me. Like that right there. You've got how many arms? 6 arms. You got one thing going on here, one thing going on there, trying to answer 2 different phones. Anybody ever had that? I have that all the time. Oh, man. But the thing is, you know, we try to do as much as possible in as short a possible as time. You know, we have this lie called multitasking. And this guy named Phileas Cyrus, he lived in 85 BC, so we're talking way back. He said this: to do 2 things at once is to do neither. All the way back in 85 BC, people realized, stop multitasking. Because you try to do 2 things, you're going to get nothing done. To bring it a little closer to home, multitasking is merely the opportunity to screw up more than 1 thing at a time. Amen. 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 I'm preaching now. But see, that's what I've been thinking about is our time. You know, and how we run from thing to thing to thing and we miss out. You know, we say, "Oh, well, I'm going to cook dinner. I'm going to listen to my kids. I'm going to, you know, iron a shirt for tomorrow. I'm trying to do all these things at once." And what happens? The food gets burnt. You're definitely not listening to your kid, because I don't know about anybody else, but I can tune mine out. Maybe I'm the only one. No. But, see, you've got all these things, and it's just an opportunity to mess more than 1 thing up at a time. But the problem is when you do that, you miss out. You miss out on a lot of things. In 2005, a guy named David Foster Wallace, I don't know if anybody knows who that is. He's a writer. He was a really famous journalist, and he wrote a bunch of books and stuff. He died several years ago, but he was giving, in 2005, the commencement address at a place called Kenyon College. And in his address, he said these words. He said, he was given an illustration. He said there was 2 young fish swimming along, right? They're swimming along in the stream. And they happened to meet an older fish swimming the other way. And that older fish nodded at them and asked and said, "Morning, boys, how's the water?" Think about this. So the 2 young fish continue to swim past him. And eventually one looks over at the other and says, "What the heck is water?" Think about that. They were swimming in a direction. That's all that they were worried about. And they missed what was around them. They missed the fact that they're swimming in the water. See, that's the thing when you get too busy. We swim through life at such a pace that we miss the simple things, the small things in life, the small people in life. You know, those little babies. We swim through at such a pace that we miss all that's around us, and it keeps us from being present in the moment. It keeps us from being here now, being right here. And I look out across the crowd, and some of you are here now. Some of you are not, thinking about what happened yesterday, thinking about what you're going to eat after church. That's one of my main concerns all the time. I'll be honest with you. It's what am I going to eat? Because I do go at work every morning about 9 o'clock and say, hey, what's for lunch? And I do sing the song from the Bubble Guppies. What time is it? It's time for lunch. What time is it? It's time for lunch. Yeah, in our house, we watch the Bubble Guppies all the time. All the time. But see, like I said, see, some of us are here now, some of us aren't. Thinking about things that happened, things that's going to happen, things that happened a long time ago. Yeah. Or just looking at your phone. You ever do that? Look at your phone. You get bored, quote unquote. Yeah. You start pulling out your phone. Yeah. I'm not looking at anybody in particular. No, I'm just kidding. But see, there's a lot of things in life that keep us from being present, keep us from being in the here and the now, that keep us from missing life, that keeps us from missing the little things. One of the things, you know, I kind of referenced was phones, you know, technology. I love technology, but boy, does that screw things up. You ever go to a restaurant and you see a group of people hanging out, eating? What are they doing? What are most of them doing? Right here, got the phone out, scrolling, seeing what's up. The worst is we were, after church this morning, we went to my in-law's house to celebrate Mother's Day. Well, we get in the car, we're going home. What does my wife do? As soon as we sit down and she yells at the boys to buckle up, got to get the yell in, what does she do? Whips out the phone, starts scrolling. Like that. Because I hear the little boop, boop. Scroll some more. Boop, boop. So I know what she's doing. And they've become such a part of us. Have you ever had your phone in your pocket and it buzzes that you got a message and you pull it out and there's literally nothing there? You get that phantom buzz in your pocket? All right. Or Kelly hears her phone all the time. It doesn't ring, but maybe a third of the time that she hears it, she's like, I know, give me my phone, it's ringing. No, it's not. You just think it is. We've become so attached to it. You know, we live in a world that we can touch people all across the world, but we can't reach the person next to us. Man. You know, I can sit here and play games against a kid in China, but can I have the wherewithal to hold a conversation with the person next to me without reaching for that phone? And you know what else that keeps us from being present? And I hate to say it, because I enjoy it. Social media. Your Facebook, your Instagram, Snapchat, all sorts of stuff. You know, because we got to see what other people are doing. It doesn't matter what we're doing right now or what we're supposed to be doing right here. I got to see what so-and-so is doing over there or what kind of craziness they're posting. Huh? I got people on my timeline that I keep there just to see what craziness they're doing. I'll be honest with you. You know, I got to give updates. I got to take pictures of what I'm eating. No one cares what you're eating. Because then you post it and you're like, oh, how many likes did I get? Did I get enough likes? Ooh, this one didn't do so good. Maybe I need to delete it and do it again. You ever think that?
Yeah.
Mary says, no, you're the minority here, sister. Because, you know, you gotta post a picture. You got to get that selfie. You got to get it just right. Got to get that filter just right. You know, got to make me look good when I post my picture. You out here looking at, like Beyonce on Instagram and looking like Shrek in real life? I know, now I went to Medlin. But see, that's the thing. Post your real life, people. Because you know what? If you're looking like Beyonce and your picture's in Shrek in real life, how are we going to find you if somebody kidnaps you? Think about it. How are we going to find you? My wife, she's back there, oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, but you know what? Social media. Did you know that it was talked about in the Bible? Acts 19:32 says this. In the NIV version, this is the way I like it. It says, the assembly was in confusion. Some were shouting one thing, some another, and most of the people didn't even know why they were there. Think about that. That's social media. People shouting one thing, people shouting another, and most people, why am I here? Think about that. Oh, man. But see, what else keeps us from being present? You know, we went over the technology, but what else? Our minds. That's the big one. You know, because so many times we spend a lot of time worrying about what happened yesterday, worrying about the past, rehashing arguments from 5 years ago. I can't tell you how many arguments I've won in the shower that took place 10 years ago. Because I finally figured out what I was going to tell that person, even though it happened so far ago. See? Worrying about the past, dwelling in the past gets you distracted. In Luke 9:62, Jesus told them, anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. What does that mean? Putting the hand to the plow and looking back, you're not fit for the things of God. Why is that? It's talking about if you're going to agree to do the things of God, stop looking back. Stop looking backward because you're not going that way. Don't dwell in the things of the past, reliving old hurts and arguments. It's okay to look at your past and say, this is how I messed up. This is how I can learn from it. But it's a whole other thing to pitch a tent in your past and live there. To live in the former things when God is telling you, live now. Live in the now. Stop worrying about what happened so many years ago. Because, like I said, if you put your hand to the plow and you look back, it's worthless. Because what? You're not minding what is ahead of you. And I've never plowed a field, but I have mowed a couple yards in my life. It equates, just trust me. If I'm trying to mow straight, and I like to mow back, turn around, and forth, because it makes the yard look real nice. But if I'm trying to push forward, and I keep looking where I've been, what happens? My line gets off. And if I keep going, the next line is a little more off, and a little more off, and it compounds what's going on. So you miss out on where you should be headed. Because you were going this way, and now you're going off over here. Think about that. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, Paul was talking to the church at Philippi, and he says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. He's being honest. I haven't got there yet, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. He says, forgetting the past. In what he's meaning there is, I'm putting the past out of my mind. I'm pushing it to the side so I can focus on what's ahead of me. He's basically saying, did I have a good day today? Okay, tomorrow's a new day. Did I have a bad day today? Okay, tomorrow's a new day. It's not dwelling in the things of the past. And I keep going to that dwelling. Don't build a house on an old foundation. Build a house on a new foundation. And you know, some people don't worry about the past. What else is there to worry about? The future. Have you ever met anybody like that? They think everything ahead. Ahead. Now, it's not bad to plan out your life, to plan certain things, you know. But it's bad when that's all you're doing is, I'll be happy when I hit X, when I get a certain amount here. And then what happens? You get that, and you're still not happy. So, okay, I'll be happy when I get Y. You get there, and what happens? Nope, I'll be happy again down here. It's always looking forward and never being happy. Where? In the moment. In today. Because in Matthew 6:34, it says these words. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Stop borrowing from tomorrow's trouble to make today worse. That's what we're saying here. Don't worry about what could happen, what might happen. Because what is it? 80, 90% of the stuff we worry about, what? Never happens. Never happens. You can worry yourself sick. People literally do that. They worry themselves sick on what might happen, what could happen down the road, instead of looking at today. Instead of being here now. Like I said, don't increase your present burden by borrowing trouble from tomorrow. Because if all you're worried about is tomorrow, you're going to miss what's happening today. So, you know, we're talking about all that. What is the consequences of all that? Of not living in the present? Anybody know? What's the consequence? Because for everything you do, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Whatever you put out there, something else, it causes something else. So what are the consequences of not being present? Number one, it's loneliness. If you think about that. You know, if you fail to connect with other people in a meaningful way, all you're worried about is what they say in cyberspace, what they say in Facebook, but you never connect with the person next to you, you're going to feel lonely. At least I do. And then you begin to buy into the lie that no one understands what you're going through. Then you begin to isolate yourself. I've done it. And you think, what am I here for? Nobody knows me. I got no friends. So what happens? Loneliness begets depression. Begets. And many times, for many people, say, I'm here by myself, why do I need to be here at all? Think about that. That's just in my own life. I'm just telling you. The consequence is you miss that connection with your family, your kids, and your church. Because no matter how introverted you think you are or how much of a lone wolf you think you are, people need people. People need people. When the highs get low, when the world's a bit too heavy for one shoulder to hold, the strongest souls still wear out, and the hardest hearts still break. Think about that. Sometimes you ain't all right, and sometimes that's okay. And if you're asking me, people need people. Somebody to call when you're close to the edge, and someone to catch you when you're dancing on a ledge. Somebody to pray for you, and someone that you can pray for. To need and to be needed, that is what we're made for. See, we miss out on that. Because no matter who you are, no matter how big and bad you think you are. People need people. We need that connection. But if we're chasing things here, there, and everywhere, or we're not in the moment, we can't connect with people. Because you can sit next to someone all day long and never actually connect to them. If all you're worried about is what happened yesterday, or all you worry about is what happened in tomorrow, or all you worry about is how many likes did I get on Facebook today? You see, when you miss that connection, you miss people's present need and their present pain. You miss that pain in other people. Because in Isaiah 61, verse 1, it says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring," what? "Good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted, to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those that mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come." See, that's our job as Christians, is to bring the good news, bind up the brokenhearted. But if all you're worried about is what happened to me last year, or the argument that I had with so-and-so that is still with me, that I still dig up every so often when I'm feeling all by myself, or, you know, I love my wife. She can't remember where the TV remote is, but she can remember the bad thing I said to her 5 years ago. You know, 1 year I did threaten to get her a plunger for Christmas because she liked to bring up old, well, you know, stuff. But see, I say that. Yeah, it's funny. But you know what? Think about that in true life. Think about that. If all we're worried about is what happened, the arguments that we happened and replaying those, or worried about what we're going to do in the future 6 years, 10 years from now, but we're not in the moment with people, we're going to miss their present hurt. And unfortunately, I've done that. Just laying it all out there. Every year in April, I make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, St. Louis, Missouri, to watch a Cardinal game or two with my dad. Well, for those of you who don't know by now, I grew up there. It's a huge part of my life. And I grew up in church. And I grew up with a big youth group. And I had a lot of friends. And there was a guy I grew up with. His name was Tommy. His name is Tommy Kramer. He's a good dude. Good dude. Still friends with him on Facebook. Don't get to talk to him very much. But a couple years ago, I went up to St. Louis. And when I'm there, I'm only there for a couple days. And I pack a lot of stuff into a short, short period. Wait. I think we kind of talked about that when I started. Right? Okay. So we pack a lot of stuff in a short period. So I did that. And I went to Walmart right by my parents' house while I was up there. And I was just trying to run in, get some stuff, get back out, because I had places to be, people to see, stuff to do. And I met Tommy. Like, I saw him again after a couple of years. He was working there. And I'm doing my thing, and I'm talking to him, you know, interacting with him. And he's telling me about his life and what's going on. And he was telling me about what was happening to him, about his brokenness, and the, you know, how he had recently lost his job but found this one here at Walmart, I think, and just some of the things that were going on. And you know what I looked at him and said? Oh, okay, nice, Glad you're doing good. And he looked at me. See, the whole time he's telling me all about his hurts and what's going on. And God sent me there, I know, to minister to him in that moment. But I was too much in my head. I didn't hear. I heard the words, but I didn't listen to what was being said. And I missed that opportunity to reach out to him because I know that I know that I know, looking back, God put me there for a purpose. But I was too far in my own head into the things that I wanted to do and accomplish that I wasn't there. I was there physically, but not mentally. And I look back with that with regret. You see, like I said in Isaiah 61, it says, the Lord has appointed us to bring the good news to the poor, to comfort the brokenhearted. But if you can't get out of your own head and live in the moment, you can't do those things. And that's something I have to live with every day. And I've asked for forgiveness of that. But you know what? Sometimes it comes back up. Satan brings that up, you know? Like, hey, you remember that time you missed it? You missed it? See, I got to put that behind me and be in the moment. What does it look like to be present in the moment? You know what it looks like? Hey, buddy, will you throw that picture up? This is what it looks like to be present in the moment. Pull it over. Keep going. For those of you that can't see, what is that? That is actually Carson. At our old house, the way our driveway kind of came down and flattened out, when it would rain a lot like it is now, a big puddle would pool right there in the middle of our driveway. I remember we came home one day, I picked him up from the babysitter, and he saw that, and he said, Dad, can I jump in there? I said, I guess, buddy, we'll put some different clothes on you and let you play in it. And I'm trying to get something out of the yard or out of the trunk. And all I hear is, cowabunga. And I look back and I see that. And he's jumping around. He was living in that moment. He didn't worry. In that moment was just what? The moment. Yesterday didn't matter. Tomorrow sure didn't matter. All that mattered was the pure joy of being present in that moment. And see, he got joy out of that. Show the next picture. And a couple years later, what happened? Same thing. Now I got two kids running out there. But see, their joy, their living in the moment, shows me the joy that it is to not worry about anything. To be here now. So how do we get there? First thing, slow down, people. Amen. Whatever it is, it's not that important. Unless it's something about your kids or your family. If it's work, you should have got up a little earlier. Stop speeding. I'm looking at you. But see, slow down. Get out of your head and put your phone down. And the greatest thing you can do is be intentional with your time that you spend with your kids and your family and your friends. Put the phone down. Don't put it on the table. Put it in your purse. Put it in your pocket. Connect with the people you're with when you're with them. And the greatest thing you can do, as my grandma always told me, shut up and listen. You've got 2 years for a purpose. You've got 2 ears for a purpose and one mouth for a purpose. You're supposed to listen twice as much as you talk. That's the thing. That's what I want to encourage folks is no matter what's going on in life, be here now. Because you're going to miss the little things. It's like those fish. that I talked about earlier. What the heck is water? They were too worried about swimming. They didn't see the little things. The little moments of God's grace. The little moments of joy. Jumping in a puddle. And just acting a fool. That's what I want to encourage y'all with. Be here now. Thank you.
I'm going to have to give them a raise or fire them. I'm not sure which. If you were listening, if you were understanding the move of the Holy Spirit, that was a right-on word. I've never seen so many lonely people. There's a verse from a Beatles song, I think from the White Cover album, "All the Lonely People, Where Do They Come From? All the Lonely People, Where Do They All Belong?" Think about that. What's God brought you here for tonight? Think about that. How many of you would say, "I'm glad I heard that"? Amen. Amen. We've got CDs and we'll give them free if you know anybody that needs to hear that. Did you want to say something, Chair? Okay. You let us know and we'll give you a CD to give to them or to mail to somebody that you know. It'll also, by tonight, that message will be on the internet. And you can download it at parischristiancenter.org. And you can hear that on our website.
And the one from this morning.
And the one from this morning also, by this evening. It'll be done for sure, Jer? Good. Well, listen, I've just got these bananas, and I found that it's a good thing to give kids. And I would just like to, I just am overjoyed by the two services that we had today and the powerful preaching anointing that's coming out of this pulpit. And with your permission, I want to speak the blessing of Moses over you as found in the book of Numbers. Would you lift your hands and receive that blessing? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace and a sense of direction and a sense of purpose every day of your life. And everyone said amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Till next time.